Hey guys, this is Anthony Bandiero, attorney and senior legal instructor with Blue to Gold Law Enforcement Training, bringing you another webinar. This is Bulletproof DUI Reports. We have a lot to cover. This one's kind of heavy, so hopefully we'll finish it in about the hour or so. We're probably going to be a little over. I'm also joined by hundreds of my fellow officers around the country, from California to New York, from North Dakota down to Texas. I am broadcasting from San Angelo, Texas. I've actually never been down here. I'm teaching tomorrow for Texas DPS, and extremely proud of that. So I'm here. I'm excited. I was cutting it close because the airline, the carrier was running very, very behind. But I am here, and I'm happy to be here. So if you're watching this on demand, there's context now. Also, understand if you're watching on demand that I glance over a lot. It's because I'm looking to see what people are writing. If they write something that I want to talk about, and I'll address it. But a lot of people in my webinars, if you've never been here before, they love to talk smack. They love to try to make jokes and so forth, and that's great. As long as it's all fun and games and it's appropriate, which it usually is. I've never had an example where somebody says something inappropriate. And I hope you never do. We got you. And I will bring up the Southern accent, hopefully, right? My name is Anthony Bandiero. I'm an attorney and senior legal instructor for Blue to Gold Law Enforcement Training. This is what I do for a living. I have the honor and the privilege to train cops all around the nation and making good case law. Our motto at Blue to Gold is get it right every single time, right? Get it right every single time. So I also have phenomenal other instructors. We have Nick German. We have Jake Bigelow. We have John Ween. We have Zach Miller. We have Chris McFarland. We have so many phenomenal instructors, Jessica Walsh. And so, guys, we have over 170 classes booked. And if you we're looking for more because we are expanding like crazy because people really want to hear what we have to say, which is really, really good. I am a retired trooper out of Las Vegas, and I definitely have done my fair share of DUIs, and hopefully I can bring some of my experience to the table. For those who are watching live, for those who are watching on demand, and you're watching with the link and it's past, a recording, this is not for you. But for those who are watching live, we are going to give away a firearm at the end of the webinar. Okay, so stick around. And then also after that, we are going to do a search and seizure show where people can call in and ask their questions. All right. No, you're good, Zach. All right. So the books, we have a lot of books coming. A lot of books. We have a search and seizure book for every state. We have a phenomenal bulletproof report writing book. We have a, check this out, guys. We have a book coming out, okay? And it's almost done, but we have a book coming out that is going to basically tell you exactly what to articulate for every crime that you guys enforce, from shoplifting to torture and everything in between. It's going to tell you exactly what your statute, not just some generic statute. It's going to say what Texas law is, what Ohio law is, what Idaho is, what Nevada law is. This project is massive. It is massive, and it's coming out soon. We have Nevada, Texas, Idaho, Ohio done. Colorado is almost done. We're just doing our states that we're most popular in, and then we're working down the list. And then we'll kind of go from there. But this is, look for those books, and I think you're going to totally be excited about what we're doing. So sometimes the statutes can be with us or a little confusing. After the show, we're going to do, again, search and seizure show where I answer questions live. All right. Let me see. What's his Claire? What's his first name? Texas is coming out in a few weeks. A few weeks. Let's see if there are definitely a lot of Jeffs here, but I do not see that particular one. So you can give him a hard time. But hey, you're here, so it all that matters. Disclaimers, laws, and agency SOPs may be more restrictive. Look, I'm going to give you some best practices. I certainly do not know all 50 DUI, DWI. What's the other one that they call? What's Ohio? Ohio is OWI. I don't know, right? I don't, necessarily OVI. Okay. So I'm going to teach you some best practices, things that come up a lot, okay? If you have any doubts about the legality of your actions, push up the chain. And finally, this course is legal education, legal advice. I'm an attorney, but I'm not your attorney. So if you need some legal advice, you know where to go. All right, we have a lot to cover. Report mechanics, transitioning to DUI investigations, trial strategies. Man, we have a lot to cover. So why are we here? Number one, to discourage filings of motions to suppress. You know, the wheels of justice, they turn very fast. And they have a lot of road to cover. And in order to have a society where, you know, justice is done, we do need to, you know, we do need to, you know, have people plead. Okay. And if they're fighting everything you're doing, if you're leaving the door open for suppression hearings, then you are slowing down the wheels of justice. And we don't need to do that, right? There are people that need to get convicted. I'm not saying they need to go to prison, but they need to get convicted and serve their time and with society. Somebody did ask if OPATA, I don't know that answer. I don't think so, because it all depends on the state. Yeah, I wish I knew the answer for OPATA. I know that our regular training is, our in-person training is, but I'm not sure about the online stuff. So let me ask you this question. Does a defendant have a automatic no questions asked right to a suppression hearing? Yes or no, right? So they go into court and they say, Your Honor, I want a suppression hearing. I think that stop was bad. Do you have any reason why? No, I just want to make sure that the officer did the right thing. Is that how it works, guys? Is that how it works? The answer is no. Also, I want to just bring out another point, another flaw with AI pictures, okay? Everybody is a stud, according to AI. Every cop is built like this dude, okay? And no, there are, not every cop is built like this, so please, I'm sorry for, you know, not having sometimes more realistic cops in here and so forth, but that looks like me. District court is required to hold an evidentiary hearing on a motion to suppress whenever moving papers are sufficiently definite, specific, and detailed to establish a contested issue of fact. So it's not a high burden, okay? I'm not trying to tell you that they can't meet it. I'm just telling you that there's a level of proof that they have to provide to the court. Now, where do you think defense attorneys get their ammunition that you messed up? Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. Exactly, Kevin. Right? Right? But in the report, right, Billy? In the report. So now, we also want to encourage guilty pleas. That's what we want. We want defense attorneys to say, you should plea. It's not if, it's when you're getting convicted. Serve as a roadmap for the prosecution and provide a basis for the fully refresh your memory at trial. Now, there are some burdens of proof that we have to know, okay? Reasonable suspicion requires a moderate chance of criminal activity, right? It's not high. It's just a moderate chance that this person may be involved in some kind of criminal activity. But it has to be based on specific facts. In People versus Johnson, the court found that a police officer had reasonable suspicion to believe that the defendant was driving under the influence based on observations of the defendant's car, you know, weaving within a single lane for an extended period. Sometimes that's not a violation of law, by the way, right? Many states do not consider that a violation if you're totally within your lane, but it can contribute to reasonable suspicion. Although the officer did not witness a specific traffic offense, the continuous weaving over 5 or 6 miles was identified as indicative of intoxicated driving. The court stated facts that might seem innocent when viewed in isolation, you know, a little weaving and, you know, adjusting the stereo and so forth, can sustain a finding of reasonable suspicion. What's up, Manny? Mike says Kansas does not allow it. That's interesting. Now, probable cause requires a fair probability. Now we're a little higher up on here. This is not a high standard. What minimum level of proof you need to convict somebody? In court, though, right? It ain't probable cause, my friends. It ain't reasonable suspicion, right? It is beyond a reasonable doubt. Exactly, Caleb. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a very, very high burden. Beyond a reasonable doubt is the legal burden of proof required to affirm a conviction in a criminal case. This means that the prosecution must convince the jury that there is no other reasonable explanation that can come from the evidence presented at trial. Yep. Well, and Richard, it's still, you know, Richard is bringing up this, the NHTSA manual about 22 Qs, right? Yeah, fine. But they're, but they, you know, you still look at the T to the O to the C, the totality of circumstances. You don't want to look at those in isolation either, because, you know, if a strong wind comes and people are weaving in their lane, well, obviously, and everybody's weaving in their lane, that would not be a reasonable suspicion. But the point is that you look at everything under the TOC. All right, let's watch a video.
It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I got to tell you, I think that nobody probably broke it down as succinctly as Johnny Cochran, right? When it comes to what is reasonable suspicion, that pretty much, I'm sorry, when it comes to beyond reasonable doubt, that pretty much sums it up in my view. Now, who is in charge? Listen to the question. Who is in charge of obtaining enough evidence for a beyond a reasonable case? Seizing, obtaining, finding. You are the prosecutor, okay? Okay, thank you. The answer is you, right? So prosecutors don't find evidence, okay? They may help you with a subpoena. They may help you with your warrants, but they're not out there picking up shell casings. They're not out there taking pictures and 360s of the car that is wrapped around the telephone pole. It is you, right? And so you have to recognize that if we lose a case because of insufficient evidence, that's your fault, right? That's your fault. That ain't the prosecutor's fault. That's your fault. If we lose a case because you had beyond a reasonable doubt evidence and your prosecutor was not able to persuade a jury that you were correct, that's their fault, right? But you got to take responsibility for your part. Who's in charge of delivering a beyond a reasonable case on behalf of the good people of your state, right? You, the prosecutor. And of course, that is the DA, the prosecutor, the state's attorney, right? Billy says both. I know what Billy says. Billy's talking about being a good witness, right, Billy? Being a good witness. Yep. Now, report mechanics. Do not write in all caps, okay? Please spare us. It doesn't take much calories. In fact, it doesn't even take a full calorie to hit the shift button, all right? So don't write these DUI reports in all caps. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about, you know, writing a tow sheet in all caps, okay? We're not talking about issuing citations in all caps. We're talking about narratives that people need to read to understand what's kind of going on, right? Let's give you an eye test, okay? So let me just give you an eye test here. So what is easier on your brain, okay? What is easier on your brain? This or this, right? This or this, right? So don't write in all caps. The other issue that comes up is you can't use proper nouns, okay? And somebody also, was it Brian? I think Brian also mentioned that spell check doesn't work. I actually didn't think about that, but that's a good point, actually. That's a good point. I didn't think about that, okay? So, you know, like I observed a bottle of clear vodka near the driver's leg, right? What if clear is a brand of vodka? You would not know that. Right? You would not know that. So this would be more clear. I observed a bottle of clear vodka near the driver's leg. Topic headings is very, very important. Okay. It's one of the most important things that you can do on all of your reports, especially DUIs. In fact, I'll tell you that in my experience, probably topic headings are the most common when you're dealing with DUI reports. But what is a topic heading? A topic heading is when you include a sentence usually before the paragraph or paragraphs that describes and kind of summarizes, or at least gives a topic about what you're going to talk about, right? It tells the reader, hey, we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about that. And a true pro uses topic headings. In my experience, when I read a report that includes topic headings, before even reading the report, I almost know for sure that the report is going to be fairly well written. Because if you're taking the time to write that, then you're probably doing a lot of other things well too. Number one, it's better organization, right? When you use topic headings, you are forced, mentally forced, to break that report into its subparts. It forces you to think about all the elements of the crime, the irrelevant factors like fatal investigations and so forth, and easier to scan for information. So if you are looking for something particular, like you're on the stand or and asked about when did you start the breath test observations, or you're asked, hey, what did you find during the path under the suspect? These things can be potentially broken up by topic heading. Now, I'm not saying that every single little thing you do is a topic. I'm not saying that, every pat down you do is a topic. I'm not saying that. But if it's important, if the pat down is how you found the evidence of the murder, then maybe you should put that into a topic heading and make sure that you justify that, and it's and in of itself is justified and so forth. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. Hey, Michael, can you resend that to everyone? It just went to hosts. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. Let's imagine, first of all, this officer is using topic headings. Phase one, vehicle in motion. Phase two, personal contact. This is coming from the NHTSA manual. But you write like you want. I don't say phase one, two, and three. I don't write that way. But you write the way you want, right? When I'm not looking to make a mini-me's. So, but for example, you're on the stand and you're asked, hey, when did you start that breath observation? I kind of, I, you know, can I look at my can I look at my report? Go ahead, right? Refresh your memory. And what are you going to start? You're going to start by looking at the topic headings, and then you're going to be like, oh, post arrest. And okay, sir, I started at 18:16 hours, right? So that's the type of help that these topic headings can give you. What is a better report? Okay, this is, a DUI report is, it's this versus this versus this, right? Topic headings are really, really good to put in your report. It's a mark of a true pro, right? It's a mark of a true pro. Okay, bullet points. Bullet points, guys, I cannot express enough how powerful bullet points are in a DUI report. When I say bullet points, I am not talking about writing your whole damn report in a bullet point format. If you submit that to the DA or your sergeant, they're gonna be like, what the hell did you learn last night at Blue to Gold? What are they teaching you, right? No, we're talking about when you need to justify a very legally significant action, then using bullet points helps a lot, right? Using bullet points really helps a lot. So there's three reasons why. And number one is you are analytical. So what I mean by that is not only are you analytical, but our other friends in the legal community, right, are usually pretty analytical versus, you got emotion and logic. You got to have both, or you're gonna be a psychopath, right? You can't just be a cold-hearted cop and have no emotion. You got to have some emotion. But at the same time, though, a little emotional intelligence, right? Let's just call it that. But at the same time, you are a logical person. A plus B equals C. These elements equal a crime. That's how cops think, right? They think like that. They're wired like that, from the academy onwards and so forth. And bullet points help with that kind of mindset. Number two is you articulate a lot more. What I mean by that is if, in our report writing class, what we'll do is we'll watch a video. And I'll say, why do you think this person knew there's drugs in the car? Why do you think this person knew the motorcycle was stolen? And I say, don't write this in a narrative, okay? We don't have time for that. Write in bullet points why you think this person knew or should have known that car was stolen, why they knew there's drugs in the car. And the cop is able to list it all out, and they articulate a lot more. And finally, prosecutors like them for motion prep. Because when they're trying to fight a motion to suppress or whatever, they're going to go to your report and they're going to look about what you did and so forth. And they're going to see what you didn't, what you articulated in there. And they're going to transform that into legalese so that they can, fight the motion to suppress and so forth. Here is an example of what I'm talking about. You know, this is very powerful stuff, right? I believe that Stevens had actual physical control of the motorized vehicle because, right, he was the registered owner. I observed him driving the vehicle. He was operating the vehicle on Warm Springs Road. He was the only person in the vehicle. He was in the driver's seat, and I watched him turn off the vehicle. Now, I got to tell you, this is actually a real report, okay? I got to tell you, when I read this, I said to myself, because this cop arrested this, he arrested him for DUI from a traffic stop. It wasn't like an APC case, an actual physical control case where you have to put somebody behind the wheel. The guy was behind the wheel. Are you with me on this? The guy was behind the wheel. And I read this and I said, holy shit, this cop is overkill. I mean, he's put in six reasons about why this guy was in, you know, driving or actual physical control. And I said, damn, I love it. I said, I want to just give this guy a hug right now, because if he's doing it for these cases, what is he doing for the harder cases that really need to be proven, right? When we actually have to put the guy behind the wheel because he ran from the accident and so forth. I searched the driver for vehicle intoxicants because the odor intoxicants. He was coming from a friend's house, which made it more likely he might be bringing some alcohol with him, right? And retain some of it, right? That cheat. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know that friend that you invite over for a barbecue, and they BYOB, right? They bring it like a nice, you know, Sam Adams, pack of Sam Adams, and they only drink three of them, and they bring the other three home. Do you know that friend I'm talking about? But you just fed his ass with all that food, right? But they still, like, you know, and they'll probably do it sneakily, by the way. They'll probably leave when you're in the backyard so you don't see them taking his Sam Adams back. Just so you know, I know those people, okay? And I'm watching you, okay? And if you come over to my house and I feed you, you don't leave some beer behind, we ain't gonna be friends anymore. But I do digress. I'm sorry, Teresa. I had to get that off my chest. It's good for my therapy. Driver didn't pull over immediately, which indicates guilty mind. Quentin knows what I'm talking about. He's been burned too. Let's do a quick commercial break. So guys, I do so much more than this, right? A lot of you guys have attended our blue to gold stuff and so forth. But, but don't forget, you know, I got the report writing book. The report writing book is the report writing book is off the hook, guys. I mean, look, a lot of people are trying to help too, but I'm really proud of this. It took me a long time to write this book. I have a sample report for every single crime. I tell you how to articulate consent searches. I tell you how to articulate, you know, DUI. I just do a great job with this, and you got to become an articulation expert. Is it perfect? Nope. Is it really, really helpful? Absolutely. Right. So if you want this book, you actually do me a favor, Teresa, put the code in there, the 10PDQ. Yes, there's definitely been an update since 2019, Kev. A big update, actually massive update. Since 2019. All right. The rule of five. This is also something that's a very good pro tip. I want you to strive for five. Okay. I want you to strive for five. And thank you, Ken. And so this means that when you are articulating something, I want you to try to at least give the court five reasons why you did it. Five reasons why you think the person is armed and dangerous. Five reasons why the person was in actual physical control of the motor vehicle. Five reasons or more why they were intoxicated while behind the wheel or driving a vehicle. Five reasons why they were indicating pre-flight indicators. Do you always need five? No, you do not. But does it help? Yes. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. I had reasonable suspicion for the following reasons. The driver gave internally inconsistent answers about travel plans, changed their story. Of course, the cop is going to explain what they mean by that, but this is just kind of like the, give you an example. Inconsistent answers about how he knew the passenger beyond the first name. Admitted he to recent border crossings. Admitted to drug-related prison sentence for 116 kilos of marijuana. Extremely nervous, heavy breathing, neck thumping, and so forth. So, what is the most powerful word in a police report? What's the most powerful word in a police report? Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's the word because, right? And this fixes a lot of your issues, right? This will fix a lot of your issues. This will force you to, if you are saying something legally significant, right? If you're saying something legally significant, then ask yourself, are you backing up your play? Because you can't tell the court how to think, okay? They're neutral. They're detached. At least they're supposed to be. So you have to tell the court why to think that way, right? You have also heard, keep your opinion out of it. Have you guys heard that before? Like some of your instructors, right? Maybe in the academy, FTO, something like that. You know, keep your opinion out of it. That's false. That's false. Is it your opinion that the person is intoxicated? I mean, in a very literal sense, is it your opinion? Yeah, it's your opinion. Could that person have a rare disease or maybe not so rare disease that actually, or like diabetes, that they smell like alcohol, they're acting like they're under the influence, but they're not under the influence? Yes or no? The answer is yes. I've taken somebody to jail for DUI drugs. I thought they were under the influence of drugs and they came back completely clean. No drugs in the system. I don't know if they were, you know, doing something that wasn't registering on in forensics. But the point is, it was my opinion that they're under the influence. Maybe they weren't. Maybe it's just the way they roll, right? This is the way they have something else going on. So the point is, back up your opinion. Actually, somebody says Otto Brewer's syndrome. Maybe that's true. Yeah. Okay, look, actually, Billy is a DRE. And which is one of the hardest things you can do in law enforcement. So I give a lot of love for that. And that in motor school, I went to motor school one time. That shit was very hard. Look, SWAT team, operator school is probably harder. But I just, in my experience, DRE, man, I've never been a DRE. That's pretty legit. In my opinion, yeah, good. Doctors give opinions, right, Billy? Don't doctors give opinions? So here's an example. The blood draw was consensual. Now, let me ask you something. Is that a legally significant statement? Yes or no? Is that a legally significant statement? Okay. The answer is yes. Okay. Why? Because consent is a legal issue. Okay. It's a legal issue. Okay. Now, when the DA asked this officer, okay. When the DA asked the officer, can you give me some more information about why you thought this was consensual? The officer wrote this. Based upon the arrest report and my detailed search of the documents associated with this arrest, there is no information to support the blood draw was not consensual. You see the problem here? What's going on here? This officer is punting the issue back to the DA, right? And there was a content. There was an argument by the defendant that this was not a consensual blood draw. Do you think that helped the case? Do you think that the DA dismissed those charges against that defendant? Right. Right. You guys are all giving very, very relevant factors. Right. We have to prove it. What if the officer simply said the word because and he explained why, right? This is especially true when there's evidence that the suspect was not cooperative. This is the field sobriety test. Do you see what the officer put on here? He put refused, meaning, look, I'm not saying that, you know, that's the problem here. But, you know, this guy won't even answer a damn question about whether or not he has any injuries, right? Whether or not he has any illnesses, but he'll let the needle go in his arm, right, guys? Refused, right? No HDN. Refused. No walk and turn. Refused, right? One leg stand. Now, guys, let me ask you something, okay? You guys are all smart people, okay? Do you really think that this officer, who was a motor officer, do you think that this big burly cop with the big leather boots and the helmet on was holding this guy in a hospital and jabbing his arm with a needle to draw his life fluids? Do you really think that this officer is doing? Or do you think more likely the officer got consent but didn't articulate it? What do you think is going on? Right? You think he got consent, or he is totally, you know, excessive force and freaking put and B, right? The latter, okay? All he had to do, okay, is write something like this. The blood draw was consensual because I read him the DMV admonishment. He told me he understood it. He told me he would submit to a blood draw. And when the blood draw was taken, he cooperated with medical staff and that refused, resist, or complain. That, my friends, is articulation, okay? That's articulation. Now, there's two primary requirements in order to have a bulletproof DUI report. Anybody want to take a stab at this? What the way I teach it, what are those two things that if you achieve this legally, your report is gold? Do you guys know what this is? If you achieve this, your report is gold. Caleb is on to something. You're close, but articulating what? What two things need to be articulated to have a bulletproof report legally? Elements and what else, Daniel? Elements and what else? Okay. Not this is general, right? This is general. So the two requirements is, and actually I think Jim is probably the closest. Elements and proper procedures. That's correct. That's correct. So it's prove your elements, right? So if an officer does an illegal search of a vehicle and finds a dead body in the car, right? Does that evidence help prove that they killed somebody? Of course it does, right? Absolutely, right? There's a dead body in the car. Shit, they might even say, yeah, I killed this person. But if that was an illegal search, is that person probably going to get convicted? The answer is no. So what you need to prove, this is very important, is that you got to prove all the elements beyond a reasonable doubt, and you have to articulate how you got that evidence lawfully. This is for any crime. This is not just for DUI. This is for murder. This is for petty larceny. This is for jaywalking. Okay, let's talk about the law and some common themes going on here. Some pre-stop issues, pretext stops, very common, right? You'll think that a person is a DUI suspect, but you don't have reasonable suspicion for a DUI, but you do have probable cause for something else, like a turn signal. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has made it very clear that during a traffic stop that's made on pretext, that does not violate the Fourth Amendment. Okay. The question for you is, did you have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to make that stop? If you did, the stop is objectively reasonable. Now, if there's an allegation of racial bias, that comes under the 14th Amendment, which is due process. Okay. So it's just two different issues. One, under the Fourth Amendment, it's objective reasonableness. Under the 14th Amendment, it's due process, right? That you can't single somebody out because of their race. So at the end of the day, this is the courts use the would you have test, not the, I'm sorry, they use the could you have test, not the would you have test, okay? Again, they don't use the would you have, they use the could you have. So since your subjective mindset is relevant, defendants may try to argue that you had no authority to stop them. That's what they're going to try to, that's the best way to try to get out of this, is like the stop itself is initially invalid, right? That you know, all I was doing is weaving in my lane or something like that, right? So factors that they look at is legal authority to make the stop. Was it in your presence? We may have a misdemeanor coming in your presence type of issue. We may have something that's called a stale misdemeanor. This is where, this is kind of a California thing, really, quite frankly. This is not really, most states don't even talk about this, but California talks about it. It's just like where you have PC for a misdemeanor, but you don't make the stop quickly, or you don't make the stop soon. Like you make it to like the next day. It doesn't come up a lot in DUI cases, but the point is it can come up, okay? All right. Now, Before I move on, though, Teresa did put in there in the chat all of our links to our social media. So Teresa is our full-time social media manager. She also does everything, a lot of other things for us at Blue to Gold. She's, you know, definitely works hard for you guys. But she and her team spend a lot of time, hours and hours every week, trying to give you guys content so you guys keep the learning going. All right? All right. So please, it means a lot to me if you guys take a couple seconds and join the YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and so forth. All right? All right. So it's vital you read your statutes and understand your specific state law. I teach generalities. I teach best practices. However, what I'm teaching tonight is very, very common. Okay. Here's your typical DUI law. Driving or APC, a vehicle, right? So is self, you know, is you know, a bicycle, a vehicle in your state? It all depends on state law, right? In some states, absolutely not. In other states, yes. Is a horse a vehicle? Most states, yes. Some states, no. On a highway or a public access, very common, while under the influence, right? Now, some states, most states allow you to prove DUI by driving or APC. Some don't care. Some are only driving. Some are only driving. So those are your harder states. We'll talk about that. So, you know, Alabama, right? A person, you know, shall not drive or be an APC of any vehicle, right? 0.08, and so forth. So there's your, you know, there's your APC or your driving. Okay. Now, again, these differences come into play when the vehicle is not in motion, right? Is not in motion, like accident scenes, or the person is parked on the side of the road. If the person comes up and they're parked on the side of the road and your statute requires driving, they may not be driving. That's the problem. You have to look. Now, driving is kind of the most limited meaning, because driving in many jurisdictions is driving only when the person steered or exercised control over the vehicle while it was in motion or intentionally stopped, right? So that's your harder statute. Now, again, APC will save the day, but some states only have a driving restriction. So driving examples, you're coasting a car with an engine off, that will work. You're steering a towed car, pressing brake while at a stoplight because you're intentionally preventing the car from moving, moving forward an inch and backing into a parking stall, right? Now, for those states that allow a DUI on private property, I can just say in no uncertain terms that you guys are buzzkills, okay? If I lived in Texas, which I'm close, you know, I think I'm getting some property here, by the way, Billy, okay? I love Texas that much. If I lived in Texas on a big ranch, you're damn right I'm gonna ride my four-wheeler with a beer in my hand, okay? Because I'm a Texan, and it's America. Put those together, you got freedom. America. And I'm going to have an AR-15 in the other hand. I'm going to have an AR-15 in a beer, shooting them all off, right? Popping the... Actually, well, Quentin actually is a very good... That's a very good question. Why are the cops on my big ranch? That is actually the most important question. That's a... Yes, thank you, Quentin. Probably because of the gunfire. A driver's confession standing alone will not be enough to prove driving under the state law. Okay. You need something more than a person's confession. Now, I'm gonna give somebody a challenge coin who can tell me what legal principle is that where a person's confession is not enough to convict. Okay, Evan, you that's corpus delicti. So Evan, you get a challenge coin. So email Teresa at bluetogold.com and give her your address and she will send you a challenge coin. Nice job. So after responding to a single car accident, the husband admitted to driving, was not in the driver's seat. During the investigation, the wife told the officer she was sitting in the middle seat, right? The wife's statement was enough circumstantial evidence to uphold the husband's confession to driving. I said that kind of fast, but the point is, I put this case in there because Because I want you to know that, yes, you can use verbal statements. I had one cop tell me, oh, we can't use anything they say, right? That's all hearsay or whatever. That's not the way it works. But you need something more. You need physical evidence to prove a crime, okay? Driving can be proved by circumstantial evidence. Direct evidence is not required. Okay. What's this? What's TSRP? What's that? A suspect was standing next to a car. He was the registered owner. The car was involved in an accident in a mobile. And a witness saw the driver behind the wheel. Right? So we have a driving. Nice. This was enough circumstantial evidence that the arrestee drove the vehicle. Right? Okay. An officer observed a bruise on the suspect's left shoulder. Is that circumstantial evidence? Right? Absolutely. I mean, this seatbelt bruise helped prove the suspect was the driver and would not violate corpus delicti. Nice. Thank you, Evan. That's great. Cops respond to a call of a truck stuck in the mud. They observed an intoxicated occupant in the driver's seat. The occupant was arrested for driving while intoxicated. What's the problem here? I just give you enough facts to just kind of make a decision here. What's the problem, right? Is this enough evidence to prove that he drove? I mean, do you see enough evidence here? This is probably a bad report, okay? Do you think that there probably was more evidence here that the guy drove to that mud pit? Billy says yes, right? This may be APC. Maybe, but this is not driving. Probably APC, right? Yeah. And Matt actually brings up a good point. Could have gotten stuck in the mud and then cracked a beer. But if you don't see any evidence of beer cans, that's something that helps you, right? The point is, don't write weak reports, okay? You want these people to get convicted, okay? DUI enforcement is important, okay? It really does save lives. And if you write crappy reports, people are going to walk on charges that they should have actually been convicted on. So there's your point. Now, when it comes to APC, that requires a lot of this is circumstantial evidence, right? Claire says a DUI is a homicide in progress. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, right? At least, or maybe an attempted. I mean, you know, if you want to look at it that way, it's an attempted homicide in progress, right? So these people do need to get arrested and convicted. Actual physical control occurs when the person has existing or present bodily restraint, directing influence, domination, or regulation of the vehicle. So they're that dominion and control, right? They are exerting dominion and control over that vehicle now. It's more than just sleeping it off, right? It's more than just sleeping in the car. It's actually trying to exercise the control of the vehicle that is looks like they're going to drive, right? And so forth. So here are some factors. You might want to take a picture of this or whatever, or if you want these slides, just go to the store and download them for free. So a person's location and position, driver's seat versus the back seat, inside or outside the vehicle, the engine running, awake or asleep, headlights were turned on. You know, a lot of these new cars, the headlights are going to turn on automatically anyway, but it does. It's just these are factors that the courts have brought up in the past. Cops got a call of a female drunk driver. Cops found the car on the side of the road with the male behind the wheel. Engine off. Female not unseen. What do you guys think? Right? Josh says no go. Correct. It's missing the APC part, right? Now, if the engine was on, would you have APC if the engine was on? Probably, because he may, right? Does he have long hair? It's actually a good question. But these facts alone did not prove the male drove or had APC of the vehicle. Now, the most difficult APC case is where it's possible the person drove to the parking lot sober, like the bar, and claims to be sobering up or is waiting for the designated driver. Roger says keys and ignition, that would be a very big factor for APC, Roger. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the point is that the officer probably had it, but didn't put enough facts in there. The answer is yes. Benjamin says, could you use a warm hood to prove the vehicle had been driven? Yes, absolutely. But just as a funny side note, touching the car's hood would be a search under the Fourth Amendment under trespass theory. But if you had probable cause that the vehicle was involved in a DUI, you could do it. Or you could hover over the hood and feel it like that. Yeah. And Nicholas says hover, don't touch. But if you did have PC, the vehicles involved in a DUI, you could touch it. Yeah. Yeah. Florida is lenient on this issue. I've seen that before. APC is really not that hard. It's really not that hard. If you're drunk in a car in most states, the presumption probably is that you are APC, right? Okay, here are some factors, okay? Some more APC factors. The engine running, again, lights turned on in the driver's seat, weather, seatbelt fastened, just some more factors. Kenneth talks about new cars that the cell phone as a you know, the phone as a key, right? Teslas are your best example. Absolutely. That's a factor, but I think it's also a factor against APC too, because it's not fair to say the Tesla owner is always going to be an APC when he's trying to sleep off drinking too much at his friend's house, right? Yeah. All right. Now we have driving, check, right, guys? We have APC, just circumstantial evidence. Talk about it. We have a vehicle. Again, look, so Billy, those are factors. Those are factors. And, you know, if the engine being on, being off is a factor. But can I'll just tell you, like, I don't feel good about cases that are people at like a bar or a friend's house and they're sleeping in the passenger seat, obviously with the car on during, you know, intermittent weather, right? I think we can agree on that, that if the guy is sleeping it off, he shouldn't be charged with a DUI, right? But if he fell asleep behind the wheel, and, you know, and so forth. So vehicle means every device in, upon, or by which a person or property is or may be transported or drawn upon a highway, except devices moved by human power. Now, I put an asterisk on that because some states, in your state, do you guys allow DUIs on bicycles? No, say no or yes. I'm just curious. So Billy says yes. Okay. All right. Man, why am I getting soft thinking that a guy getting, I mean, if he's riding a bicycle, I mean, if my life was so shitty, I was running around town on a bicycle, I'd be drunk too. You know what I mean? Like, that's how bad my life, I just want to be happy. Can I just be happy while riding that bike? You know what I mean? My life just sucks. I'm wearing, you know, just getting off work at the Wendy's. And you got to pull me over in Florida, and I can't even, like, just make it home, you know, with my shitty life, riding a bicycle. All right. So it is what it is. At least Joshua agrees with me. Wait, look, Quentin, you know if he's riding a bicycle. Look, let me just say, let's make, okay, I don't want to be stereotyping here, but I will say this. If he is an adult and he's riding a BMX bicycle, you know he has warrants, okay? Adult plus BMX bicycle equals warrants. Over 21 years old and riding a BMX bicycle equals felony warrants. Okay. We know that for sure. We know that for sure. Just like a Nissan Altima can be reasonable suspicion for something, we also know that too. All right. Let's talk about on the highway or public access. Most states are going to allow a DUI for public access. Okay. This is pretty easy. Now, the private property, that's awesome. So public access means location, which is open to the general public. Gated communities are usually included, but not private driveways. But that is not true in many states, right? Some states you can get a DUI in your driveway. And Ohio, I think, is one of those states, right, guys? Ohio, I you know, it all to me, it all depends on circumstances. Obviously, if they drove there, that's a good arrest, right? If they're about to leave there, but you know, and I'm sure you guys use good judgment if they're trying to sleep it off and it just happened to be in their driveway, but who knows? So while under the influence, so look, this is what we got here. We got driving or APC, a vehicle, right? It could be a bicycle on a highway, public access, could be private property. That's where the state laws come in. And while under the influence, let me see this. Evan says you can get a DUI in your driveway. I made it once because there was fleeing. Yeah. Well, that is a good, no, look, I think that's a little different for me. I want to say, I think that, look, I do think that there's a difference for me. Okay. And again, maybe I'm getting a little soft on crime. There's a difference for me of a guy riding lawnmower intoxicated on his farmland. He should not get a DUI, right? Unless something bad happens, I guess. But the guy who is riding his riding lawnmower down the street should obviously get a DUI or makes it home onto his property. Absolutely. He should go to jail for that. Golf carts, almost everybody driving a golf cart is under the influence. You know that. Okay. There's black letter law on that. I think there's a Supreme Court case on that if you're driving a golf cart on a public street, you are under the influence. There are usually two ways to prove under the influence. There's BAC and there's alcohol affected offense to a degree that renders them incapable of safely driving or exercising actual physical control of the vehicle. Guys, so what is the easiest way to prove a DUI, right? It's per se, right? It's per se. It's 0.08 or 0.04. Is it 0.04 for commercial truckers? Right? 0.02 for kids, right? Something like that, right? 0.02, 0.05. Okay. So the point is, whatever that per se is, boom, done, right? You're just done. As long as that chemical test, as long as the traffic stop is lawful, you're done. You can't get out of it. You can't get out of a 0.08. Even though you are an alcoholic and a 0.08 is really a 0.01 to most people. Or, you know, right? But the other way is to prove that they cannot safely operate the vehicle. Jonathan is actually bringing up a very good point, okay? Vermont is 0.08 or impaired to the slightest degree. That is actually the law, okay? And basically, when we see signs that say buzz driving is drunk driving, actually, case law is in favor of that. Okay, virtually every state provides that the slightest impairment of the ability to drive safely is sufficient. However, you still need evidence like FSTs to prove their driving was affected. So, when you write this report, okay, that no, that's that Joseph. In fact, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, South Dakota can be DUI even under a 0.08. That's absolutely true. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about one of two things. Either A, the chemical test was thrown out because it's a bad chemical test, right, guys? Or B, they're under the 0.08, but they're still unable to safely operate a vehicle by the slightest degree. That's what we're talking about here, right? Okay. Quick commercial break. So I got what's next week here. So July 16th, we're doing cat out of the bag searches. That's private search doctrine. That's when private people conduct a search and the police replicate it. snacks. Miranda and Beyond. That's gonna be with Zach Miller. That's gonna be a really good class. And all about abandonment. So I love abandonment. People abandon stuff all the time, right? They abandon stuff all the time. Yep. Okay. So guys, please, there's the QR code right there. I hope that you guys, you know, just please keep joining them, keep sharing with your friends and so forth. Transitions to DUI investigations. Do not tell drivers prematurely they are not DUI. Sometimes cops will do this. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to de-escalate the driver a little bit and just like calm him down. Hey, everything should work out. You're probably not DUI. I just want to make sure. Don't say stuff like that because what could happen here is you could basically get an argument that you don't have reasonable suspicion. And you do need reasonable suspicion to run people through FSTs unless it's completely voluntary. If a person is involved in a fatal accident and you don't have any signs of intoxication, can you ask them to run through the tests? Yes. Okay, absolutely. They can always give you consent, right? But what if they say no? If they say no, I don't want to do the test, can you compel them? Can you order them to do the test, even though you don't have reasonable suspicion that they're intoxicated? The answer is no. And let me ask you one more question. Do you think there are agencies out there that tell their officers that people don't have a choice when they're involved in a fatal, that they have to do tests? Yes, they do. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. Don't do that, right? Don't tell people, hey, you're weaving in your lines and stuff like that, right? And so, Roger, can you give me some more context? Roger, is there any way I can answer that on the show and we can talk about it? Because I have feedback on that. Teresa, can you help Amanda out? Oh, no, Amanda, resend that out, please, to everybody, if you don't mind, because I'm going to give you a link so everybody can see it. You can ask somebody for a blood draw, right, in most states. So when you transition to a DUI investigation, you want to say things like, look, I pulled the vehicle over, wasn't sure if the guy was intoxicated, right? Here's his violations. He admitted to consuming two beers. Therefore, I transitioned to a DUI investigation. It is nice to indicate in your report when you are transitioning from a regular motor vehicle stop for some kind of infraction into a actual criminal investigation for a DUI. Teresa, can you give the link for the store for this PowerPoint? Joshua, why is it that they always say two beers? I don't know if you guys know this, but these criminals go to school. Do you know there's a criminal school out there? And it's the same school that's teaching these guys to say these are not my pants after you find their methamphetamine. So it's just a school that they go to, okay? They're not really that good. All right. All right, look at a video example.
Car is this?
It's mine.
Okay. So what happened?
I went to make the turn, and then as I was making the turn, I rear-ended them right about here.
What turn? Where were you?
This one. Right about from this street, I was making the right, and then as I was going on.
You make it right on here?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you hit the rear end of the car?
Yeah. I brake first, and then, you know, I tried to brake, but I rear-ended them, and yeah.
All right, what about the damage on the side over here?
That was before, that was from a bus from, you know, probably last October.
Last October, so that didn't happen today?
No. It happened months before.
Okay. All right, I need your driver's license, registration, and insurance.
Sure. My license.
Okay, Nick, that didn't go to everybody, by the way. So resend that out. That's really actually pretty funny. That's actually really funny. Okay, so let me ask you a question, okay? How can we prove that he drove there? Give me some factors. Witness admitted it. Keep going. Seating position. Well, he's not behind the wheel. Wheel witness. Slurred speech. No. Hey, Benjamin says no notes in the vicinity. That's what I'm talking about. The stuff like that, that really is. Nick says when they hold up two fingers, that's Roman numeral for five. That's what I was trying to see, though. It was actually really funny. He said he actually hit the vehicle. Then he also explained other damage, right? Okay. But guys, I'm going to give you something that almost every DUI investigator leaves out of the report. Okay? You ready for it? It's that there is no reasonable explanation for why the accident occurred. You guys with me on this? That accident should never have occurred. This is not a deer jumping out on a highway, right? It's good ambient lighting. It's preventable. Okay, this is a preventable crash, and I know maybe it's obvious to you guys, but it's not obvious to people reading the report. Okay, the other thing is, I am not teaching you guys to only put in that report that he said he was driving. Is that going to be enough in many cases? Yes. But what if that gets thrown out, right? What if that gets thrown out? What if we have a Miranda issue for some reason, which we wouldn't hear, but what if we have a Miranda issue? You need to stack the deck, right, Josh? Stack the deck. Also, somebody talked about, you know, nobody else around. This is also something about this, you know, he's standing near it. There's no other apparent means of arriving at the scene, right? Actually, when it comes to preventing this accident, but okay, how can we prove impairment? Observations, when the last drink, slurred speech. Now that's, by the way, when I said that the accident's preventable, that actually comes under this. I didn't mean to, I kind of messed up. That doesn't go under why he drove there. It's this one. The other one about how he drove there, there's no other means for him to get there. Okay. Swaying, blank stare, slurred a slow speech, hit a car with good ambient lighting, should never have happened. Fumbling with his lighting, fumbling with his wallet, drooping eyelids, and so forth. Okay. Now, Miranda only applies when there is arrest-like custody, like handcuffs in the back of the car and so forth. Generally speaking, Miranda does not apply to DUI investigations. There's a U.S. Supreme Court case on this. An officer detained a driver, look at this case though. An officer detained a driver in handcuffs and placed them in the back of a police car. Another officer arrived, took off handcuffs, and asked him about drug consumption. What is going to be the argument here, right? He's going to still feel he's in what? Arrest-like custody. So, drug statement suppressed, arrest-like custody. Now, this probably could have been fixed if you told him with no uncertain terms that he's not under arrest. But the other thing that the court did not like is that he should not have been put in handcuffs and put in the back of the car anyway. This was by convenience because the guy that did it did not know how to do a DUI investigation. So he's just waiting for the motor officer or whatever to do it. And when you put people in handcuffs and you stuff them in the back of the car, it really is not a pro tip, right? You end up putting them in Miranda-like custody. An officer asked an apparently intoxicated driver whether he drank or consumed drugs. He admitted that he did, and his statements were used against him. Now, right? We do that all the time. How much you had to drink, right? V for victory or five beers, right? The driver was not in custody, even though not free to leave. That's one thing that I hear a lot. Oh, Miranda is required when they're not free to leave. That's not true, right? That's not the only factor. That's a factor. Now, Miranda only applies to testimonial evidence. It does not apply to physical performance. It does not apply to one leg stands, right? I want to read this, Evan, in a second here. It does not apply to one leg stand and walk and turns and HDN, but it does apply to Romberg because that's thinking about the 30 seconds. In Florida, we have to read Miranda on DUI crash investigations when transitioning from a civil investigation during which we have a crash privilege and are required to provide info about the crash. It's called changing of the hats, and reading Miranda is part of it before beginning a DUI investigation. I've actually never heard of that. I've heard of it a little bit many years ago, but what case is that? I would love to see more on that, actually. Um, Yeah. What maybe other Florida people? Okay. An in-custody driver was asked to perform FSCs without Miranda. The court said that her HGN test was not testimonial, but her performance in a Romberg was because it's using the brain. Using the brain. All right, trial strategies. Similar previous reports, right? If you're all your reports look the same, what are they going to say? They're going to say that you are cut and pasting the reports, right? You got to write these, you got to write individual reports, not generic reports. All right, let me read this. So, although it is also the case that even honest and conscientious officers tend to observe many of the same symptoms and describe them in identical language, evidence of a carbon copy report can be devastating. Jurors find it very interesting that the officer on the stand always observes a suspect. For example, traveling at 70 miles per hour, crossed into the number two lane for 2 seconds, and then back to number one lane. Now, Jim says or asks, hey, is asking a person to count from 69 seconds or their ABCs, is that testimonial? Yes, it is. Is Miranda required? No, if they are not in arrest-like custody. So you don't have like you don't need Miranda on FSTs. But that case, I should actually clarify. What happened in that California case is that they took the guy to jail and they performed the field sobriety test at the jail. You guys with me on this? And the court allowed everything in except the Romberg because that violated Miranda. They never got a Miranda waiver from him. But even if they got Miranda, even if he invoked his right to silence, they can still do FSTs if he's willing to cooperate. Yeah, I should have made that clear. Yeah. Yes, the Romberg, because they have to use their brain to count. That's why it's testimonial. And whether Miranda's required is a different question. Are they in arrest-like custody at the same time? Okay. All right. So you got overtime for the stop. They will sometimes attack you because you got money, right? You're making money for directed enforcement and so forth. You receive DUI reward awards, so they're saying, they're basically just saying that you have like you have a motive to lie, to embellish, to get these awards. Now, if you are attacked on that, I would say that you're proud, right? You're proud that you got, Officer of the Year for DUIs, and you're proud that you got recognized by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I think that's something to be proud of, right? You're trying to save lives. And actually, that goes over well with the jury, by the way. Out of view camera testing. So if the FSTs are not, to move your camera, or if you have body cam and so forth, right? So but if it's hidden, they're going to say that you set it up, right? You didn't want to be recorded and so forth. Okay. Well, look, some takeaways here. I would really love for you guys to get the book. A lot of what I teach here is. Everything I teach here is in that book, plus a lot more.